Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my Winners Analysis co-host,
Rebecca.
And today we're talking about Survivor 44. There's only been one episode, but we're talking about our Winners Analysis. Rebecca has six people she wants to talk about. I have six people I want to talk about. And I do think, Rebecca, you and I are going to cross-pollinate on our six people. So if that's the right word, as if they're flowers or bees or whatever. but Rebecca,
yes.
What did you think about this premiere? Everyone's heard me talk with Mary for like ever about it. So it's your turn.
Yeah, honestly, I really enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of excitement with our first medevac and also the first time the shot in the dark has ever worked, even though it didn't really matter. But still,
it was
you know, exciting to watch and to go through that experience, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I really like the way that the season is being set up, and I think it's going to be very entertaining. So yeah, looking forward to it.
I agree. Jeff has been totally dunking on 43 in the pregame press for 44 by saying how confusing it was and how like he did not like 43.
Yeah.
But how do I put this? I think 43 ended pretty funny. So. I really liked the ending to 43. I laughed really hard in a good way.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. I was a little disappointed, I'm going to be honest, by the end of 43. Yeah.
I know you were.
Yeah.
I was, I would sooner watch 43 than watch 41 again. I will say that.
Yeah.
But for 44 here, we have quite a few things. I know he's not going to come up in our nine people we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
But for future winner analysis, just to let everybody know, we are going to talk about everyone who's remaining. I know Rebecca can't join us in 2 weeks when we do our next one. So either my wife, Mary, will join us or my sister, Emily. I don't know who exactly yet will be joining me. Somebody will. But Rebecca can't be here for next one. So she'll be here for the remainder of the season. But in the future ones, we're going to talk about everybody left in the cast. Today, we're talking about nine because we've only got one episode to go on. And while everyone got to talk to the camera multiple times, I don't feel like I have a good read on everybody yet. So,
right.
But I do want to talk about Bruce because he was medically evacuated, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on Jeff Probst's new podcast, he said that Bruce will be coming back. He's asking him back for another season.
That's awesome. Yeah. He seemed like, I don't know, I really wanted to see him play. And so that was definitely disappointing.
Jeff was, I don't know, like it seemed like he had kind of a man crush on Bruce during the episode. Even though that one shot, I don't know if you remember that one shot where he's like on the beach, he's like, Bruce, I'm glad to have you. And it was like Jeff on the left side of the frame, Bruce on the right side. And I was expecting like a heart to be drawn in the middle because I'm like, this is a very weird shot for
Survivor.
Honestly,
someone should get on that fan edit. I bet someone could put that together for you.
No, I don't want to ship them. I'm just saying that it seemed like from the show that Jeff was really high on Bruce. So it was not a shocker when he said Bruce can be invited back because as it's been rumored, 46 is a returnee season. Also, Rebecca, before we get into winter analysis, I don't know if you know this, but it's also been rumored that after 45 and 46, we're going to go to a new location.
Oh, my goodness.
Not Fiji.
Wow.
That is
pretty shocking.
Even if it was a different part of Fiji, I want to let you know it would look completely different.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's just not like Jeff's backyard or something lame like that.
No, hopefully, to be honest, like I would fully be invested in that. People just having to survive in Jeff's backyard. That's hilarious.
That's so lame. That's like Big Brother. I just watched.
No, but like they still take everything away. Like they can't leave the yard. They don't have running water. They don't have shelter. Like that would be hilarious.
Cut to Jeff like looking at them outside of his window with like a just very judgmental look. Just like almost like a horror movie.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the vibe we'd get.
Absolutely.
They're like, oh, Jeff's lights are off in his bedroom. Now we can talk trash about him behind his back. As there's like 50 cameramen out in his backyard. That'd be insane. But for real though, I really do hope they pick a new location. Mm-hmm. But I did tell Mary I'd be okay if they went back somewhere like Samoa or Philippines. Just a different location, please.
Hopefully
that rumor's true. We don't know for a fact yet, but they've been in Fiji since season 33 now, so.
Yeah, it's been
high
a minute.
Time.
Yeah.
It's high time. Somebody, I'm sure, can make them a good tax break deal. I'm sure that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to go through these alphabetically, but Rebecca will be giving you her top six ranking. I'll give you my top six ranking whenever it's a person I want to talk about. We'll try to. I'll have it in the description for those who want to just have a look at our rankings so far. But keep in mind, I just told her to pick six people she found interesting, not her top six.
Right.
So she's just ranking the six people she found interesting. Same with me. I mean, though my top three are my top three. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Top three or top three.
Okay. And the other three are more like interesting people we wanted to talk about. So
yeah.
All right. Well, our first person is Brandon, who is on Rebecca's list of six.
Yeah.
He had 14 confessionals, which I think might be the most of the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Everybody this episode had at least two confessionals, which is the first time since 42. Though before 42, I don't think they ever had an opening episode with everyone who got two confessionals. So they're doing better with their edit. So he got 14 confessionals. He did get two votes against him. He played his idol to negate those two votes, thankfully, because if he hadn't, he'd be gone. So, Rebecca, tell us all about Brandon and what you liked about him or what you found interesting.
Yeah, I think I just found him interesting. I mean, yeah, like you said, 14 confessionals is hard to ignore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we got to hear a decent amount of strategy from him. He, you know, had a lot of power in this first episode just with, you know, the idol and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I think he's basically someone who he is number five on my list. So I don't like have him ranked super high, but I think he's someone to like keep an eye on for sure. The thing that I'm not sure about with him is kind of the more social game, because like you said, you know, he got two votes in the first tribal.
And he got Maddie mad. I mean, that's why that happened.
Right. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, if he can kind of, I don't know, take a step back and reevaluate and kind of, you know, yeah, work on the social side of things, I think he could be a really strong player because, you know, like, you know, he's, you know, strong and seems to do well in challenges and stuff. So, yeah, I think he's just someone to keep an eye on.
Challenge, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, they yeah. did. Yep.
So he is physically strong. I think he's the former NFL player.
Yeah.
Though he's currently listed as a security specialist, but truly he's a former NFL player. Also with Brandon, that was really what got me was his whole thing with Maddie. Like it was bad on both of them.
Yeah.
I personally, it wasn't like one person was in the strategic right and one, the other one wasn't. Though I did tell Mary, I didn't even know Brandon was going to get the two votes, but I told Mary before the vote, I'm like, he has to play his idol. I'm like, everyone knows about it. It's too public. Heck, it's a shame that it was so public that everyone knows about the fake medallion. Cause
yeah,
I mean, Survivor's like trying to like make this interesting, and the Orange Tribe could not make it less interesting, in my opinion. Yeah, that birdcage.
That's true.
They just like took everything interesting about it and just threw it out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not supposed to be everyone opening it. Like, who in their right mind thought this is an advantage for the tribe? Somebody who's like barely seen Survivor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brandon is barely seen Survivor, but the fact that anybody would think that was it was obviously not an advantage for the tribe.
Yeah.
Just obviously.
Yeah, I kind of see that as something that like, yeah, in this episode, it was not handled well. It wasn't very interesting, but it could be interesting, like post-merge, depending on who's still here and who is on the same, you know, who's in alliances and stuff. Because of the fake medallion, that could become interesting. But yeah, right now it's like useless. So I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't get a good look at it. I need to go back and rewatch, I guess. If the fake medallion looks anything like the idol, that would be good because because I'm hoping that because he played the idol, the cage gets a new idol and it's locked back up
with
keep it somewhere.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for. Otherwise, talk about wasted potential.
Yeah,
for this cage.
But, yeah, but I'm like, hoping that I hope it's not just an idol in there. Like they could put something else in the cage and it could be like a Beware Advantage or something.
Why would you do this, Rebecca? Bad Rebecca. We do not talk about Beware Advantage.
I'm so sorry. Fact, but like that would be so interesting because like, yeah, like you think you're just getting an idol and then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I guess. I don't want to agree with you though. So I'm not going to out of principle.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough.
I just want them to have basic advantages so that people aren't confused because there's just so much. We had what, a summit last night again? I rolled my eyes and that happened. It was a great episode, but like they're the tropes of 41, 42, and 43 were like wearing on me. Can we not do any more summits, please, for the love of everything? Because they just want to throw random advantage. Like that's where the bank. Okay, so if they want to put advantage in the game, put the ones you're going to put the summit in the cages. I don't want the summit.
Yeah.
So like the bank your vote advantage, put that in a cage.
Yeah.
Put the inheritance advantage in a cage, you know.
Yeah.
But don't put, like, let's avoid the summit.
Because,
it's
unnecessary. Like, also to your point, like, there were so many advantages at play in that first tribal council. Like, it was almost too much. It was kind of crazy, like, how many advantages there were, but also how, I don't know, I don't want to say boring, but like,
Warren was never going to vote. That's for sure.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even like, okay, the shot in the dark worked for the first time. Like that should be exciting, but then it didn't even matter. So it was kind of like boring, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
Four seasons it took for it to happen and to work and it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like all the other times it's been played previously. It's been like, it actually would have mattered for that person.
Right.
The one time it works, the one time it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fun.
Yeah.
So I get keeping that one because it had no effect on 43. So like it can just exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to understand. I don't like the implementation of it. I told Mary this and maybe there's a better way of doing this. Have you ever seen Let's Make a Deal by chance?
Oh, it's been a long time, but yes.
Okay. We were watching it the other day.
Okay.
They have, there's this one game on Let's Make a Deal where they like go around a board by rolling a dice. But anyways, the point of the rolling the dice, it's like this little like tunnel. They drop the dice and it goes down like a little tunnel and it lands. There's no like tomfoolery. You cannot like drop the dice and land on a certain spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to roll. It's going to pick. It's going to be random. I wish that was the shot in the dark, but made into a survivor and not like a big let's make a deal. Because I feel like then we get the visual of like, are they safe? Are they not? And it can be like a dice that only has one side that says safe and the other two say not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Just something or something to that effect, because the scroll is very anticlimactic.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does a scroll reveal. And it's like, oh, cool. It's not
the
like
one
an
thing.
Item or anything.
The only thing I would say in defense of the shot in the dark is I wonder how it affects like gameplay in terms of just like psychologically people knowing that there's always that backup, you know. It's not a very good backup because obviously it's never worked before, but like even, I don't know, just seeing like Jamie's thought process and stuff, I really don't understand like why she decided to play it.
She was
I don't know. I think that it could be like an interesting analysis, I guess, but I don't know.
I think she was being paranoid, though I also was not super clear. Despite us having an hour and a half of, you know, show with no ads,
yeah.
I was still not super clear on why every decision was made.
Mm-hmm.
I get, though, why Brandon was voted for. He had an idol. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I get why he voted for Maddie. Like, that was clear. I guess that's the most important part, but
yeah.
No, I was a bit confused by the decision of Jamie. So probably not good for her prospects of winning. But anyways, for Brandon, it's really who we're here to talk about.
Oh,
yes. Brandon, out of your six people, where does he rank?
Yeah, he ranks number five for me. He's kind of someone that, like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I see him, like, being in, you know, in a top three necessarily. But he's also, like, hard to ignore because he just got so much attention in this episode, you know?
I mean, Gabler had a rough start in 43, so who am I to say anything about Brandon not having a chance?
Yeah, exactly.
You can have a rough start and make up for it.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to move on to our next person?
Yeah, let's do it.
The hot mess known as Carolyn is our next person. And I say hot mess with endearment. I do not say that at all.
Absolutely.
Because I really enjoy Carolyn. She reminds me of, I don't know if you've seen season 12, Rebecca. She reminds me of Shane Powers from season 12. He had...
Yeah.
Shane Powers had... he had been smoking a lot of cigarettes. He smoked like three packs a day. Something insane like that. And then he comes on Survivor and he's detoxing and he is struggling. Also, Shane Powers is naturally kind of a nut.
Yeah.
I feel like Carolyn's kind of a nut. I don't know if she smokes or anything. I know she posted the other day she's a 13 years sober from alcohol, but that doesn't mean she's not smoking. I don't know. But anyways, Carolyn, great character. I'm not sure if you or I will have her ranked very high. She doesn't have any advantages. She didn't even go to tribal. She's on what I consider a very powerful tribe in the Purple Tribe. I feel like them and Soka, I mean, Soka got first place both times, but Purple, if it wasn't for Carolyn just being a mess on that ring toss, I think Tika would have won both challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, they blew it. They were so far up ahead. Carolyn's like, throwing that stupid ring up in the air.
Yeah.
But she has six confessionals, believe it or not. I thought she would have more, but I think she got screen time outside of confessionals is what it was. I mean, she had the opening confessional of the show, which they've never done before.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Carolyn?
Yeah, I love Carolyn. I think that she is very, I don't know, she just seems like someone that I would enjoy being friends with, you know? I don't necessarily see her winning. I don't see that being like a very real possibility right now. But yeah, I think it's very fun to see Survivor through her eyes. And we kind of got to see that a little bit with, you know, the introduction of the package in the cage and like kind of, I don't know, just hearing her perspective on it. Like, you know, oh, I just want to get in there and everything. And yeah, I think she's a very entertaining player, and I just hope that she sticks around for a long time.
I hope she makes the merch too.
Yeah. I think that would just be very entertaining to see her in kind of that context of, you know, shifting dynamics and all that.
As long as she doesn't become a villain, I wouldn't like her as a villain.
Ooh,
I don't think.
Yeah, no, that would be disappointing.
There are some people who I'd be okay with being a villain. Carolyn's not one of them.
Yeah, I agree.
She works as a hero, or as at least just a positive character, which the show tends to favor anyway. So
yeah, and I mean, who knows? Like, yeah, maybe we'll get to see some growth and stuff from her. But yeah, either way, I find her very entertaining to watch, and I hope she sticks around.
Yes, I agree. We both have her on our list, Rebecca, so let's start with you. How do you rank her?
I do have her ranked at number 6, just because I don't see it being very likely that she wins, but I do have her on my list because I hope that she sticks around. So
I have her ranked number 6 as well, but though this is no indication of what I think about her as a Survivor character, which I personally value more than winners. I mean, some of my favorite people are non-winners on the show. So,
oh yeah, same.
So you don't have to be a winner but Carolyn seems to be already in that position of, okay, can she maintain, as long as she's in the game, being like herself or being whatever this is? My sister Shrip told me she thought Carolyn was being fake.
Oh, really?
Like, man, if only I had you on the podcast this week too. I'm like, maybe I need a third one because I want to hear this hot take, because I don't think Carolyn's being fake. I think Carolyn's just Carolyn.
Yeah, I want to hear that hot take too. That sounds interesting.
We'll see. I might have Emily on in 2 weeks for this winner's analysis, and we'll see if she still thinks that.
Okay.
But yeah, Carolyn, I really like her. I just don't think she's a high chance of winning, but I wanted to talk about her as well, like you did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, our next player is Carson, who got 8 confessionals, is clearly good at puzzles. I think he's, so I haven't talked about people's ages, but I do want to talk about them because despite Gabler and Marion kind of throwing off the perfect age range of 25 to 35, Marion was 23 and Gabler was 51. I do think it's a factor, though it may be not as big of a factor as I originally thought. Brandon's 29, so he falls right in that age range. And our last person was Carolyn. She's 35, but I don't, 20, 35, 50, I don't think that matters for Carolyn. But for Carson, he's 20. So if he won, he would be the youngest winner ever. I believe the youngest winner ever is 21.
Yeah.
So Carson would be have rarefied air to win here. But he has 8 confessionals, and I felt like he got a very pot. I mean, he was like the center of his tribe. I mean, so was Yam Yam, Jam Jam, I believe is how you say his name. We'll get to him later. Carson for now. What do you think about Carson?
Yeah, Carson was very interesting to me because, I have him ranked pretty high, although I agree he's like a bit young to actually win. I think what draws me to him is that he seems like, even though he's kind of like the nerdy type and, you know, that sort of thing is kind of how they have portrayed him, like he still seems very passionate and very like dedicated and like kind of all in with stuff. I mean, he talked about like he gained 30 pounds or something before like
going out and
like worked really hard to bulk up. He was, you know, they showed like all his spreadsheets and like the 3D printed, you know, puzzles that he had made at home to like practice and stuff. And so I think it's like really cool to see someone that's like that enthusiastic about being here. That being said, like, I think even though he is, you know, really smart and obviously, you know, did well with the puzzle that they had to get their supplies and everything, there's still like he lacks any confidence, or at least that's kind of how he came across, and maybe that's an act, I don't know.
Might be a good thing to be like that in the beginning.
That's true. And that's kind of, I guess, what I'm hoping is that, like, I'm hoping that whether or not it's an act, I would love to see him just kind of like grow in this show. And I think this is like a great environment, especially for someone that young, to just like really, I don't know, grow and kind of find out what you're made of and stuff. So I have him ranked pretty high because I think he's going to have a really interesting story this season. Because like you said, you know, he's on one of the strongest tribes. And so I hope that he's able to make it far and that we're able to kind of, yeah, follow his story. And I think it's going to be really cool.
It did seem like him, Carolyn, and later we'll talk about Jam Jam. They were the three on the purple tribe that stood out.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yep.
Whereas on the blue, like the orange tribe, we talked to the orange tribe a little bit. It was Maddie and Brandon. Mm-hmm. But Maddie's gone.
Yeah.
I would say Jamie, but not really. I feel like it was Matthew, Brandon, and Maddie, but Maddie's gone.
Yeah, I would say definitely
sorry
like
for my voice.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I would say definitely like Matthew also stood out to me as well. And like Jamie stood
we'll
out,
get
but
to Matthew.
Yeah. Not necessarily in a good way though for Jamie, because like she just doesn't seem to like, I just don't see her playing super well, I guess I'll put it that way. Like, she seems like a super nice person, but I just, I don't know. Yeah, the whole shot in the dark thing and everything.
If she wins, she wouldn't be the first person to say, you know. I mean, Gabler did the same thing in 43. He said he's going to use a shot in the dark episode one, so.
That's true.
Breaking barriers, you know. But if we're not going to talk about Carson anymore, Carson for me is ranked number four. What is he ranked for you?
He's ranked number three for me.
Okay, so that's pretty high. He's actually in your top three for winners.
He is in my top three, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, he falls right outside of that. Though I'll tell you why. We haven't got to anybody who's in my top three yet, Rebecca, and I'll tell you when we get to somebody in my top three what it requires to get on my top three, because I have a theory.
Okay.
But anyways, so Claire is our next player.
Yes.
She had two confessionals, and she's on your list. She's not on my list.
Yeah.
So I'll let you take the lead, because Claire did not stand out to me as a big character or a winner. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So she's kind of a sleeper character in my opinion. Like, yeah, there wasn't a lot in this episode, like you said, because with only two confessionals and all that. Mm-hmm. But the things that we did hear about her, I mean, she talked about, you know, her job and like how she's, you know, constantly making these $1 million decisions and stuff. And she at least gives the impression of like being very smart. And the thing that turned me on to Claire was during the challenge when she talked to Matthew and was kind of giving him, you know, what it comes across very innocent, like, oh, let me give you some information that's going to help you. But really, I think there was a lot of like strategy behind it, because she was really just trying to stir up trouble in that tribe and stir up distrust. And so I don't know, I could definitely be reading into this too much, but I just see her as someone who is looking multiple steps ahead. Like, that's a merge move right there, is to like try and already be, you know, like, I don't know, causing dissension in another group of people. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think she came across to me as like kind of someone who's flying under the radar a bit, but could really come out swinging post merge. So, yeah, that's why she's on my list.
So where do you have her ranked then in your top six?
So I do have her in my top three. She's at number two. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Well.
Yep.
I'll tell you know what? This is what I do with Mary's picks as well. I'll pay closer attention next week to the people that you pointed out in your top three that I may not have noticed. Claire, I didn't even think twice about her, but I'll pay attention next week.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, like, she's definitely, you know, kind of a sleeper agent. Like, there wasn't a lot, obviously, in this episode, but like what I saw is like, I hope that really gets to flourish into something, because yeah, I think it could be really cool.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our next person. Franny. I love the name Franny. She got four confessionals and she seems to be in the start of a showmance with Matt. Though a showmance applies to only in the show. This could go beyond the show, because Jeff did say before this week started that he hopes the showmance on the show does extend beyond the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he would say that if they still weren't together. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, Rebecca, get this. Jeff, he has the gall to do this. So before, he used to say, oh, there's a winner's edit. Like, we leave clues as to who the winner is, right? Mm-hmm. And then during 43, I forgot if I told you, during a podcast he did with the people who play Merry and Pippin in Lord of the Rings called The Onion Podcast, he said, there's no such thing as a winner's edit. We never tell each other, oh, Jeff, but what about the winner? What should we do for that? Nothing, he says, which is total bollocks, because then this past week, Rebecca, he then in another interview says there is a... He says there's a winner's edit. He says we leave clues. And I'm like, Jeff, make up your mind. Like the this interview and the other interview was in October. It's been 5 months. What changed?
Oh my
it's
goodness.
Almost like, well, for Gabler, there was no winner's edit. Maybe that's what he meant to say, because there was, but it wasn't one that he liked. I don't know.
It's maybe they're trying to like throw us off. Maybe they do it sometimes and they don't do it other times. Who knows?
They do it almost every time. They're, I will say, prepare for spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled on older seasons, skip ahead like 20 seconds. But the only one I can think of blatantly where it was like they are the winner was season 11 Guatemala with Danny Boatwright. She won, and there wasn't really any obvious like, oh, she's going to be the winner kind of stuff. So, but that's like so long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not recent. Recently, it's been very consistent. Especially in the past like 15 seasons. So get out of here with that Jeff nonsense. All right. So Franny, I really like Franny. I think her and Matt, based on next week on Survivor, seems like they're going okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, you know, as long as nobody like in the middle of the season goes, actually back home, I have a wife or I have a girlfriend.
Right, right.
But Rebecca, I did, since we're with Franny, we might as well do it here with Franny. Mm-hmm. As long as they're together, and heck, even if they end up breaking up, hopefully not, but even if they do.
Yeah,
I asked for you to have a Taylor Swift song of the week for this couple. What is the song this week for them?
So the song that this week that I think applies to them is Enchanted off of Speak Now. It's a great song about, you know, just first impressions, meeting someone and kind of having that spark right away. And also, I specifically chose this song because people were upset at me for ranking Speak Now so low last season when you had me rank the albums. And this is from Speak Now. So hopefully people... this is a little bit of redemption, you know?
I don't remember people being mad, but okay. Yeah. So Franny, for me, and I'm going to let you rank and then I'll rank and then I'll explain why. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're ranking for Franny?
Yeah. So ranking is my, or I'm sorry. Let me start over.
Go ahead. So, no, that's fine.
So Franny is my number one ranking, actually.
Big, big.
Yeah, big. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think that, you know, she comes across as like pretty smart. She talked a little bit about like her day job and stuff, and I didn't understand it, but it sounded smart. She did get the second question from Jeff when they first hit the beach. She was like one of the first people that, you know, he asked a question to. So I thought that was worth noting. And obviously, like, I don't know, I think that she's either going to do really well or really poorly because of this whole showmance thing. Cause I know that's always like a very, I don't know, playing with fire, I guess, you know, just kind of like a dangerous thing, but we'll get into it more when we talk about Matt. But I think that they are kind of setting it up. Cause most of the time with showmances, it's like, you know, one person is going to get voted out, but then the other person could do really well. And so I am hoping, and I think that she will be the one that comes out of this showmance. Because just from what we've heard from her in the confessionals and stuff, we've just heard more strategy from her. We haven't really gotten any of her backstory yet, which I think is also something worth noting. Like sometimes, you know, when we hear their stories too early, it seems
they didn't
like
really do sob stories this week, I noticed.
Yeah. But
which
even
I appreciated.
Yes. But you know, there were some people that we at least got like some backstory of like, oh, that's something interesting about this person.
True.
And we haven't gotten much of that from her yet. So that's also partly why I'm thinking, you know, she's going to probably stick around for a little bit. So that's my hope.
Well, did Maddie get one? Because she's gone.
That's a good question. I don't remember if she did or not. She did get six confessionals, though.
I don't know if it was you specifically, but I know I was ragging on last season where I said,
yeah,
and the previous two, in fact, I said, if you get a sad story, I know your elimination's either A, coming up.
Yeah.
And if you don't get one, it means you're going to last longer. Like, I don't know why I said A as if there's multiple options. If you get a sad story, I knew your elimination was now available, is now an option, was on the table. If you didn't have a sad story, then you were safe. Like it was almost like immunity, sad story immunity. So the 44 doesn't seem to be the case. I'm glad they dropped that. Like it's fine by me. Franny, I'm with you. I have her at number two personally.
Nice.
I want to mention, because I didn't mention, Claire is 25, Franny's 23. So Claire falls in that, in my ideal age range. My ideal is usually the age range that most winners fall into. It's not like I care about the age. But Franny's 23, so she falls outside of it. But Marianne proved that doesn't matter. So with Franny, I'm with you on the Matt. Here's the thing. I have a Matt theory. And by I have a Matt theory, I mean I've been on Edgic a lot, which is what I've been doing since like vinyl for like what, eight seasons? Ever since I think Dave vs. Goliath's first season, I discovered Edgic is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And people read the edit, and I've been really getting, I've really been entranced by that. Though I'm not as good as those people. They get really in depth. But anyway, so they've noticed, and I'm right there with them. I'm like, you know what? I love the obvious telltale signs because sometimes they do this. So for 41, Erica was asked a question by Jeff on the mat. 42, Marianne was asked a question by Jeff on the mat. 43, Gabler was asked a question by Jeff on the mat. Mm-hmm. I'm with the mat theory.
Yeah.
If you're asked a question on the mat, I think you're now an option to win. You know, I think I toyed with this in 43, but I guessed, I think it was Lindsay that season. I was so wrong. I didn't even pay attention to Gabler.
Yeah.
You know, bad on me. I was toying with this idea last season, but this season, I think I'm just going to go with it because he only asked three people. And while I don't necessarily think that is the final three, because it felt more like he picked one person from each tribe, I'm not saying one of the winners couldn't be one of those three. So Franny was one of the three. So I'm going to roll with that. And for me, she's number two.
Yeah.
And it's not, and I'm just going with the mat theory. My top three are the people on the mat until somebody gets voted off, then I'll reevaluate.
Okay. There you go.
Once the math theory is proven wrong, I think it's too late for the, I think it was too late when people were discovering the math theory for the editors to change the show. I think 45 will not have it. If it's true this season, the editors won't do it again. People will start talking about it more because it's too obvious now. Once something becomes obvious, the editors try to shy away from that.
Yeah.
Though to go on a little bit of a rant here for a second, about a completely unrelated show. Mary and I started watching the Challenge USA yesterday, which has Sarah Lucina. This is spoilers for that show, but I imagine it's been out for a year. You had your chance to watch it. So in the very first episode of that show, Sarah Lucina straight up says, I'm going to win the show. I'm going to win $1 million. Write me the check. And she ends up winning.
Nice.
So that show has no cares about spoiling the winner.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's the only person the whole first episode to say that. And she wins. So
nice.
Anyways. All right. So let's move on to our next player, Matt, part of the Matt Franny relationship.
Yes. When you said the Matt theory earlier, I thought you were talking about this Matt, but it's fine. I caught up with
only you. Only one T. It's going to be confusing this season. There's Matt, there's Matthew, and then there's my Matt theory. So
yeah. So yeah, we'll have to keep up with that.
Right.
Yeah. Matt was very interesting to me, obviously because of like the showmance thing, and I'm curious to see how that ends up going. He seems like, you know, a really good guy in terms of like the social aspect of everything. You know, he seems very likable. He got 11 confessionals, which is a lot, and kind of hard to ignore. I do partly wonder if he's going to be one of those that kind of burns fast and bright, you know, kind of like really strong at the beginning, but then doesn't last. And the reason for that is mostly because of the showmance. I just don't see both of them making it out of that alive personally. I mean, you know, like, surviving it.
Sure.
So yeah, like so I Survivor? Have him. Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean anyone's going to literally die, to be clear.
No, that's what you meant.
Yes. But yeah, so I have him ranked at number four. Cause yeah, I think he's definitely someone to like keep an eye on, but I'm not fully sold that, you know, he's going to be, necessarily a winner at this point, but I enjoy watching him. He seems like a nice guy.
If we were doing our full cast list and ranking them, he would definitely be in my top five or six.
Yeah.
But since we're just doing, he didn't fall in my top three, so I didn't want, but you talked about him, which is great because I do like him. Yeah. As you said, 11 confessionals. I think he was the only one to come out of that summit in good standing because he actually showed proof that he lost his vote.
Yes.
The other two lied. I mean, he lied too.
Yeah.
But
he lied better.
He lied better, and it was not that he was super convincing, but I mean, like when they said, "Oh, you lost your vote, did you only lose one vote?" He was like, you know, not a great response, but I think people could just buy, like, he had proof, like that's kind of what you need.
Yeah.
Where so when we see them talking, I believe it was Matthew and am I tripping on the other person who was talking on the bench? Who was talking with Matthew? Was that Claire?
Yes, Claire. Yeah.
Yeah, Claire and Matthew talk on the bench and conferred, and I think Lauren's now in hot water. We'll see. If I'm surprised it didn't come up sooner, but Lauren is probably in hot water there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Matt, I think he's going to be fine. I could totally see him making the merge, him and Franny. I don't see them going early, but crazier things have happened. So thankfully for him and for Franny, they're on the Soka tribe, who I believe got first place on both challenges. So
yeah,
keep that in mind.
Yeah.
If you got a tribe dominating challenges, what's the point? If they don't right. do a tribe swap, we'll see if they do a tribe swap, but
that's true.
Okay, not to confuse everybody, but the next player is Matthew. Like, honest to goodness, one of them needs to pick like a nickname or something. All right, so Matthew,
I think
the
they
guy
did.
Who,
one of them's going by Matt, right?
That is not a nickname, Rebecca. Matt and Matthew is still confusing.
Mary and I,
she kept correcting me because I kept getting confused last night. I'm like, I know who I'm talking about in my brain, but the word coming out of my mouth is, I would say Matt for Matthew, Matthew for Matt. It's like, ugh, all right.
Yeah.
So anyways, a little rant aside. Matthew got 11 confessionals. He is part of my Matt theory, which is separate from Matt and Matthew.
Okay.
He was talked to Jeff on the Matt. Mm-hmm. He's the only one from the Orange Tribe. Though he is 43. Oh, by the way, Matt, not Matthew. Matt's 27, Matthew's 43. Mm-hmm. So they do have an age difference, thankfully.
Yep.
Could you imagine? Though they both got 11 confessionals, so, you know, forget me.
Yeah.
Matthew, while he did fall off the rock.
Yeah.
By the way, I totally thought on top of that rock, there was that white rock. I thought that was something.
Oh, yeah.
At first, when I did that, like, aerial shot of it.
Yeah. They've used a ton of drone shots this season. I don't know if they're actually more than normal, but I definitely noticed them more in this episode.
They used a lot of that in Winners at War, especially in the premiere. And then I think they've been toying with that, like maybe not as much as in Winners of War, but you do occasionally get that in 41, 42, 43, 44. In 43, the very first shot of the season is like a drone going through a mountain. And then during the challenge, a drone's like following them as they're doing the first challenge.
Yes,
usually in the premiere when they get the drone operator. They don't usually have a drone operator through the other episodes. I don't know if they can't afford them or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if it's not worth the effort. I don't know. But anyways, I agree with you. I like the use of the drone.
Mm-hmm.
But for Matthew specifically, while he did fall off the rock, which is very dumb, I think he got a lot of confessionals. He's got a lot of screen time and it didn't feel like negative screen time.
Yeah.
He did that, the coconuts with Brandon, who you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so he proved that he's valuable when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that arm is going to hold him back for long, but I think it's good. The arm might lower his threat level.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And he was not willing to just, they were talking about voting off. I mean, he did play a shot in the dark though, unnecessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm conflicted. This is why I need more weeks. I only have 1 week of footage to go off of.
Cause I also feel like, to be fair, that first tribal was like so chaotic for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
I don't know.
Reason for that
maybe
nonsense.
He just got scared.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon got to play his idol after like multiple shot in the darks were played, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just like it was just a messy tribal. I think I bet you Matthew doesn't play his if Jamie doesn't play hers, because Jamie made a public announcement, and if she didn't do that, would Matthew have played his? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody did theorize that Matthew only did that so he didn't have to pick a side yet, but I think he's on Brandon's side.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
I didn't think he was on Maddie's side.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I mean, I only got what the show shows me. So
yeah.
Matthew for me is number one because I liked him the most, but I could easily see him dropping.
Yeah.
I am sticking to the Matt theory, so he could easily drop to number three is what I mean when I say dropping.
Okay.
I'm not like hard set on him. I feel like Franny could easily take over. It's just, we got so much more of Matthew. I felt like I was more attached to Matthew by the end of the episode, which is not great edgic, but it's my theory. So
yeah,
Matthew's number one for me, but everybody here could fluctuate very easily. I mean, I'm not like hard set on anybody as number one by any means. So, and I shouldn't be after the whole Gabler debacle last season. I get cough. It's so bad, man. So bad. I'm like, oh yeah, Tommy's going 39 and I'm right. Tony's going to win. I like figured out Tony after like episode 5. I'm like, Tony's going to win. Get it right. 41, Erica wins. I did not call that. So it's like confidence shattered. I'm like, Marianne's going to win from the very first episode based on, and that season it was the last three from the intro. I didn't have a name for that theory, but my theory was right because it was based on 41. So my confidence is back up. Gabler wins, confidence low. So.
Okay. So how are we feeling now? Like low confidence still?
No, my confidence is low. If I nail the season though, 45, I'll have unreasonably high confidence again and I'll get screwed again. So
yeah.
Just fluctuates like the waves in the water. All right. So Matthew is number one for me and he's not ranked for you, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. If he was to be ranked, would he make it in the top half?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's probably honestly probably like 7 or 8 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out next time if he's still here. If he's getting medically evacuated, my goodness.
Yeah.
All this medical last night. Yeah. By the way, the medical doctor's changed. I don't know what season he changed on, but that was not the medical doctor I'm used to.
Yeah.
I'm used to like a blonde, seemingly Australian man.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is Australian. That was not the medical doctor I'm used to seeing on Survivor. So
yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, all right.
The next player to talk about is Sarah, who at first I did not think much of, but then upon retrospect, I realized I should rank Sarah. I think Sarah has something. Not only does she have an inheritance advantage, which is strong, I don't think she did a great job lying, but she lost her vote. So she has proof if she needs to provide proof.
Yeah.
Unlike Lauren, who has nothing to prove. Like she cannot prove her story truthful at all. At least Sarah could prove it. Be like, oh yeah, here's the awesome vote. Sarah got 8 confessionals, and I think she's more of an under the radar at the moment, even despite 8 confessionals. But I'm not. I don't want to overlook Sarah. I don't. I think she's on a strong tribe, and she's not in a showmance like Franny and Matt.
Yeah,
we have yet to see if that's a bad thing yet.
Yeah,
but Sarah, I feel like, is in a good position, and she has the strongest advantage in the game. Though I think I talked about this on the last podcast with Mary. I was a little bit confused on how it works. Apparently, she has to play it. She has to decide to play it when they go to vote.
Okay.
So she is banking on somebody else playing an advantage when Jeff asks her an advantage. So she could miss. At first I thought, oh, she just gets to play this whenever.
Yeah.
So she knows all the advantages that were played. No, she has to play it when they go to vote. So she is also guessing if somebody's going to play an idol or something.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes more sense. I was confused by that as well.
Yeah. They weren't super clear.
Yeah.
I was like, does she get to steal the idol? Like I was like,
yeah, yeah.
When you make new advantages, you need to explain them clearly because I am confused.
Yeah.
But when I found out it was just, you get to play it at the urn and it's only if somebody else plays theirs, you know, basically dittos or copies it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I was like, okay. I was like, still feels very powerful, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like there's not much of a downside to that. But what do you think about Sarah? Do you have any thoughts on her?
Yeah. Not a lot of thoughts. I think, yeah, she's kind of, you know, under the radar a little bit for me, which is I didn't rank her in my top 6. So, but I mean, you bring up some interesting points. And yeah, I mean, not only is she on a strong tribe, but she does also have that connection from the others that she went on the summit with. So it didn't seem like
she's on the Tika tribe, not the Soka tribe. I was mistaken.
Oh, yes.
She's on the purple tribe.
Yeah. For the summit, not that it didn't seem like they had a lot of like bonding time necessarily that we saw. There wasn't like anything super special there. But it's still worth noting that she's had a conversation with them. So, you know, maybe that could turn into something.
That hasn't really done anything the past 3 seasons. So,
and
as you said, we didn't see any important bonding here. The only season there was any important bonding was 41 when there was a few cut times. It's like, okay, this could come up later, but 42, 43. No. Just get rid of the dumb thing. All right. So Sarah's 26. She falls in my ideal age range for a winner. So keep an eye out for Sarah. I could definitely, for her, she's my number 5.
Okay.
Though, if there wasn't a Matt theory, I would probably put her in the top 3.
Oh,
but because of the Matt theory, she is not allowed. She has been banned. So the highest she can reach is 4, which Carson currently is sitting at. So she can't. But Carson, you know, I'm not, you know, Carson could be burning bright and then, you know, get killed real quick because people realize, you know, he's not Sammy who is lying about his age, but he is, you know, Carson is 20. Though Carson, I want to point this out, said on Twitter, or he said, don't tell everyone on the show that you're single because he's like, I'm getting way too many messages.
Yeah, I could see that.
So anyways, I mean, unless you're that kind of person.
Right.
Really Carson's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from there. I'll just leave it there. All right. Because I thought for a second, I was like, maybe Carson's the one who gets in a showmance. And based on everything we've seen, plus Carson saying that, I was like, all right, it's not Carson.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next person is Jam Jam. Even though his name is spelled Yam Yam, it's Jam Jam. I was corrected on it. I've learned my lesson. He was on the mat, so he fits into my mat theory.
Yeah.
Though I was like, I don't know. I was not The episode ended. I was like, all right, only because you're on the mat are you falling in the rankings. Otherwise, I like you. I don't know about winner potential, but I like you. It kind of like, not like Carolyn, not like Carolyn, a mess like Carolyn, but Jam Jam's more, he seems more to like the Cody kind of character that we got last season, where it's like he's the fun character. You know, he's living, tattoo on the butt kind of character. But is this the winner? I don't know. But anyways, for me, he is number three. He did get 7 confessionals. Mm-hmm. He is on the Tika tribe. So he's on a fairly strong tribe. I mean, both Sokka and Tika looked strong last night. If it wasn't for Carolyn blowing that ring toss, Tika was right. I mean, Tika was just as strong as Sokka. So
yeah,
Orange Tribe's really got to make it up. I mean, Orange Tribe with Matthew and his broken arm. Yeah. And now they've lost a legit person in Maddie. I don't know. But yeah. Jam Jam. I like Jam Jam. He got good screen time. He said poopy in the ocean, which I liked. He's getting the very much over the top, like positive edit. But it's not necessarily the I'm going to win the show. Though I think we got backstory from him. Did we not?
I think we got a little bit. Yeah. Which it's funny because like even though he only had 7 confessionals, I feel like we heard from him more than most other people.
Matt got 11, but I think Jam Jam's confessionals were more sick in your mind than Matt's 11.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus 7 is not a few. I was surprised when Brandon got 14. I was like, I didn't even realize he got 14.
Yeah.
Like that's the difference of a Jam Jam getting 7 and Brandon getting 14. Heck
yeah.
So Jam Jam though, number 3 for me. I like him. I think he falls into the Cody archetype of being a fun character. He might reach the finale. He might reach final 6, you know, but who's going to take Jam Jam to final 3? Like you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's just, you're asking to lose because people are going to like Jam Jam. So that's the thing though. If you go on an immunity run, that's what these kind of characters who are really fun loving, that's what they always seem to lack is that immunity run. If they had an immunity run, guaranteed to win.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like who's going to stop you? Yeah. If you go on an immunity run, you've won the game because you just need to reach final 3. People like you, but I don't know. Is Jam Jam the, he's 35. He's not like old or anything, but is he going to go on a immunity run? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I like him. The moment him, Franny, or I'm sorry, who's my other person? Matthew gets voted off, then I'll readjust. But he's in my top 3, but that's only because of a theory.
Yeah.
All right, Rebecca, do you have anything else for anyone else?
I don't think so. Other than just, you know, I'm excited to see the season play out. I think it's going to be a good one. So, yeah.
Jeff's been hyping it to all heck.
Yeah.
He has been hyping this season. He's been dissing on 43. heck, they started an official Survivor podcast for 44.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, I mean, why did they not do it for 43? But they did it for 44. So anyways, I do want to mention over on Patreon before we end, over on Patreon, if you want to pick the story videos we're making for Gabon, that's happening right now. Every month we do pick story videos for seasons we've already done, which are seasons 1 through 16 and 18. So right now we're picking for Gabon as well. So 1 through 18, pretty much are all eligible to be voted for. And also, if you want to see the Micronesia story videos for those who cannot wait, because there are quite a few, those are on Patreon. In fact, I will have Amanda's. By the way, if you're this far on the podcast, welcome. Here's some insider information. I am working on Amanda's, and hers looks to be the longest I've ever done. Nice. And I have come to the point where I'm like, how? Why? Out of all the people, Amanda Kimmel, I'm betting, I don't know if it's going to be over an hour, but Marianne's was the longest 53 minutes. And I'm like, based on everything, I'm like, I think Amanda's going to be longer than 53 minutes. And nice. I couldn't believe it. I started her script with like, I'm like, there's like the first like 4 episodes of Amanda are nothing. And I'm like, okay, well, it's going to go quick. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was very wrong. So what the heck do I know? Apparently. All right. Well, if you were like Amanda, that's going to be your video. So nice. I was just like blown away. I'm like, I can't believe I did this. So anyways. All right. Well, Rebecca, I appreciate having you on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Rebecca, where can people find you at?
Yes. I am on YouTube and TikTok as Barefoot Summer is my username on both of those platforms. And I post
a lot of shorts.
Yes. I post mostly about like Taylor Swift and music stuff. So if that's something you're interested in, then I'd love to connect with you over there.
And Rebecca's a real goof, let me tell you. Even though I've known Rebecca for years now, I have discovered new things about her through these shorts that I did not know Like your love for the Frozen on Broadway.
Oh,
I did not know this.
Yeah, I could talk about that for hours. Yeah, Frozen on Broadway.
We're not going to do that, but she could.
Maybe I'll start a podcast for that.
No. Very quickly, why Frozen on Broadway over Frozen the movie?
The condensed version is just that it's longer. There's more songs. There's more character development.
There's more songs?
Yeah, there's more songs, but they use them to develop the characters more and go a bit deeper. It's a bit more of a mature version of the story. So, that's the brief version.
I would love if Broadway ever would combine all the stories of something into one. So, for example, I saw Back to the Future, the musical. I would love if they had just done all three movies in one musical.
Because
even though it was 2.5 hours for the movie, I really love Back to the Future. There was some filler in there. And I'm like, I kind of wish we had just done all three, like the whole trilogy in one musical. Because I don't think they're ever going to do Back to the Future 2, the musical.
Right.
You know? So let's just do all three in one. That's how I feel. I would love if somebody one day just did Frozen. I don't know. Frozen 2 wasn't as good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Debatable. Sure I mean, yeah, it had some good songs in it. I'll give it that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if I would sit here and say I want to see Frozen 1 and Frozen 2 on Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would
that's
love
true.
To see like a whole trilogy. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our nonsense for this week. We do appreciate you all listening. And we'll see you all next time. Every other week, by the way, for Winners Analysis, every other week. Okay, bye.